right. Amen. Are you grateful for our praise team today? Awesome. As we begin this morning, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up to it. There will be words on the screen, but I always like to have the actual thing in front of me. So if you have your Bible or if you have an app on your phone, I encourage you to just open up to that. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 25. So let's just read that scripture, shall we? So then, in putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you will fill this space, and that of all the words that are spoken here, your word would be the one that we would hear, and that your word would be good news to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I like making lists. Anybody else into making lists? It's helpful for me. I kind of need them to survive. Can anyone else relate to that? It's for me, like if it's not on a list, it's probably not going to get done. That's just my life. That's how it is. So, you know, if you tell me to do something on a Sunday morning when I'm scattered, it's probably not going to happen. I'm just telling you, I'm really sorry about that. But if I don't write it down, if it's not on my list, it's really, really hard for me to ever get around to it. So I actually enjoy making lists because it kind of helps, you know, I feel like I've accomplished something. You know, just writing it down feels like, all right, I've done half of it right there, you know? No matter what it is, like clean the entire house. If I write that down, like, shoot, I can take a break. I'm done, you know, right? Anybody else kind of feel that way? Like once you write it down, you feel like you've done something, yeah? So there's like this fulfillment that comes from lists. It's, I don't know, some of you are sitting here thinking, that's really weird, Wes. But some of you are like, we're on the same wavelength, right? You need that. You got to write it down. Albert Einstein has a quote. I should have looked this up before. You know, some people prepare for their sermons and actually write these things down. But Einstein said something like, why should I remember anything that I can write down? You know, and he was kind of smart. So that's how I live. So making lists is good. But there's two different kinds of lists. There's the lists we make to stay organized, and that's the ones that kind of give me a pleasure, is writing down those lists to stay organized. And those lists are really about the items on them, right? They're about the specific thing on the list. But there is a different kind of list. My kids and I sometimes... What I'll do just to kind of connect with them is I'll stop and just say, hey, Bonnie, can I tell you 5 things I love about you? And I'll just, you know, she'll usually like try to get away from me or something, but I'll force her to sit and listen to the 5 things that I love about her. And I'll list them off. You know, I love that you're smart. I love that you're kind to your brother sometimes. I love that you're playful and fun and courageous and brave. And I'll list these things. And that's a different kind of list, right? Because that list really doesn't have that much to do with the specific items on it. If I miss one, the world won't fall apart. If I put one in there that's kind of, I don't know what that really means, but it's still kind of, it's okay, because the point of that kind of list is to paint a picture. The point of that kind of list is not the things on it, but what that list is pointing to, the bigger reality, the bigger truth. It's not that I really love Bonnie because she likes math or something. I love Bonnie, and that's the point of giving that list, so that she can see and experience our relationship. Do you see the different kinds of lists? So here in Ephesians 5, we have a sort of list. Paul does this a lot. If you read the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament, he has a lot of lists. Paul likes to make lists, right? You think of the fruit of the Spirit, right? In Galatians, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these," right? But by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. You're familiar with that list, right? Well, Paul loves these lists, and he lists them all the time. And we have to try to remember what kind of list this is. For Paul, the point of the list isn't the individual items on them. He's assuming we know what he's talking about when he gives the individual things. And what he's doing is painting a bigger picture. In that story of the fruit of the Spirit, he's painting a picture of a God who brings love and joy and peace into the world. It would be wrong to kind of come away from that and with one particular item and get hung up on what exactly that means. This doesn't mean it's a problem to stop and focus on each thing. But if we don't see the bigger picture that Paul is painting, we've missed the point. That's the kind of list that Paul likes to make. Paul's lists very rarely have to do with what the specific items are. They have to do with something bigger. And so we need to read them that way. And in fact, I think a lot of bad things happen when we get hung up on the trees and we miss the forest, right? We get hung up on the brush strokes and miss the painting. And we can, I'll get to this a little later, but here in Ephesians 5, we have that kind of a list. He lists off these things. It's a little fuller, but you know, he talks about putting away falsehood. Be angry, but do not sin. I kind of like that one because it says be angry. I get angry sometimes. He doesn't say don't get angry. You can get angry, but don't sin. Let your anger do what anger is supposed to do. Be angry about the right things and seek justice and do something about the problems in the world. Share with the needy. That's what this give up stealing part is really about. He talks about give up, let those thieves give up stealing so that they can give to the needy. The point is not to be selfish, but to be generous. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. My parents taught me a kind of a threefold filter for the words I speak, and I very, often I mess it up. But the filter is to ask yourself every time you speak, is it kind, is it true, and is it necessary? And if it doesn't really pass through those three filters, maybe don't say it. So keep that in your back pocket. That's something helpful. So let no evil talk. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We could get hung up on what that means, but don't live in such a way that the Holy Spirit, who has marked you and said, you are a child of God, beloved of God, don't live in such a way that that Holy Spirit would be disappointed or grieved that you have contradicted the truth about yourself, the truth of your baptism. Be kind to one another. Man, that's one of the most underrated commands in Scripture. Kind, we just forget kindness, don't we? We'd much rather be right than be kind. Forgive one another. And then Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Now, it wouldn't hurt to stop and look at all of the things on Paul's list. It wouldn't hurt to ask ourselves, what does it mean to put away falsehood? What does it mean to be angry but not sin? You know, we kind of touched on some of these already. It doesn't hurt to ask those questions, but if we miss the point, the bigger picture, that this is all about being imitators of God who loves us, who loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. If we don't get that, then none of the stuff on the list really matters all that much. In fact, it could even be a distraction. The whole point is love. Ed has talked about in the last few weeks this disease called complicatitis. You know that? Remember what Ed talking? Anybody listen to Ed when he preaches? Some of you do? Okay, good. Yeah, Ed Davis. He's a pastor here. you remember him. He talks about complicatitis, right? I always kind of, I get what he's saying, but as a theologian, as a you know, Princeton guy, I like complicating things. That's kind of what I live on, is taking simple things and making them really complex. I like that stuff. But the point is that what we do is we take simple things and we make them, we miss the point of what they really are by making them about all the little pieces, by complicating the thing. This is missing the forest for the trees. See, when we get hung up on each specific brushstroke and forget to look at the picture, things do get very complicated. And we end up majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. The things that really matter kind of get lost to all the little tiny details. And we miss this picture that Paul is painting because we're so concerned about regulating our behavior, making sure that we get each of the boxes checked. And we miss that the whole point is love. See, the point of Ephesians 4 here isn't that we get hung up on deciding what we should and shouldn't do. That's not the point of reading Paul's lists. That's not the point of any of Paul's letters. It's never just sin management. It's never just regulating, making sure you don't do the wrong things and that you do the right things. The point is love. Love is what orients all of those other things. Love is the picture that Paul is trying to paint. And it turns out it's a picture of Jesus. We miss the point. We miss Jesus when we make this all about ethics, what we do and what we don't do. The whole point of Jesus' love is Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. If your reading of the scriptures complicates that, then maybe you should reconsider how you're reading it. If you miss the forest for the trees, maybe you should think about if you're looking at the right stuff. If your focus on the minor stories, the little things, the specifics, obscures the big story that God is telling, That's the thing that needs to get rethought. See, the Bible is one big story. It tells us a story of a God who came to save us, a God who created the world in love and freedom and then saved the world in love and freedom and invites us to live in love and freedom. That is the story of Scripture. And it's a story of the circle widening over and over and over again of who God loves. It turns out it's not just one person, it's a whole nation. It's not just one nation, it's the Jews and the Gentiles. It's not just them, it's God's love reaches to the ends of the earth. That's the story. Now, if you find a passage or a thing in Scripture, a tree in that forest, that looks a little confusing, don't let that one tree change the story. Instead, let the story challenge that tree. Let the story of who God is change how you read each specific piece of the list. If there's a jagged tree in there, don't let that be the thing you worship. Worship Jesus, who is the picture that all of these things are painting for us, a picture of a God who loves us. The point, friends, is that because this God created us in love, has saved us in love, we are invited to live in love. That's the point. We need to remember that none of this matters if we don't live in love. Being here, singing songs, giving money, you can keep doing that, it helps, but none of that matters if we don't live in love. It's all about Jesus, nothing else. Don't complicate that. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, in all the complexity of life, in all the gray areas that we navigate so often, remind us that the one thing that matters isn't what we do, or how we think, or whether we've won that argument or this or that one. What matters is that you love us and you have invited us to live in love. God, we confess today that you are love. So may we as individuals and as your family, beloved children, may we live in you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.